Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey there, everyone, and welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Jonathan Strickland, and I am one of the two hosts of this show.
And my name is Lauren Volkelbaum. I am the second of the empirical two hosts of this show.
That's right.
That is the precise number.
Exactly. We aren't firm on all the details all the time, but this much we know. There are two hosts, and we are here.
Three there shall not be.
Three is one too many.
Four is right out.
Right out. So today we wanted to talk a little bit about an interesting concern that was brought to our attention. So Google Glass. You know what Google Glass is. You've heard of Google Glass, right?
Yeah, sure, sure. It's the little glasses with a Google connectivity that tell you all of your email and buddy stuff and et cetera. The weather. You can have all kinds of augmented reality experiences.
Yeah, you can figure out how to get around town by using turn-by-turn directions.
All without having to look at a cell phone. It pops up in front of your eyeball, so you're only distracted literally all the time, and you don't have to turn away in order to be distracted.
Right. Well, there's certainly some concern about distraction there. And I should give credit where credit is due. Patrick Kelly posted on our Facebook page an article that was called "The Google Glass Feature No One Is Talking About," from Creative Good. And that's kind of what we wanted to chat about, is some of the concerns people have had about Google Glass. So it's a technology that is in its infancy right now. The article, by the way, was by Mark Hurst. The technology is still very young, so we don't have a lot of firsthand experience with this. In fact, neither Lauren nor I have had the chance to try one of these.
No. I think they're currently going for, what, $1,500 and is it technically an alpha or is it still a beta test?
It's a developer beta, really.
Okay.
Google has a yearly event called the I/O event. And at the I/O event, they usually announce new products as well as hold very intense workshops with developers to explain how to develop for the various Google platforms and what those Google platforms can do for the developers. So if you are a developer with a big company that has a giant website, and your company is wondering if there's anything that Google does that would make their website more powerful for the consumer, you send the developer to the I/O event to really understand this stuff, right?
Uh-huh. Cool.
Well, Google also takes this as an opportunity to kind of introduce new toys.
Push a couple things here and there. Sure.
Yeah. So
understandable.
They've unveiled things like the Nexus tablets. They've unveiled, you know, various Android devices. They showed off the Nexus Q, which was one of those things that did not take off so well.
Not so much.
And they've launched products that were software products that got a lot of excitement early on and then maybe didn't work out, or maybe they still are working, like Google Plus versus Google Wave, which did not work out so great. One of the things that they've talked about is Google Glass. They had a spectacular demo.
If you guys have not seen the video, I'm not sure if you're on the internet at all right now, but if you haven't, we'll link it. It's gorgeous.
So Sergey Brin really kind of blew away the crowd. He interrupted the presentation that was going on, the keynote that was going on at that time, to show off an incredible series of stunts that people wearing Google Glass were performing, so that you could see what it would look like from that person's perspective. Because one of the other things that Google Glass has is an integrated camera.
Right.
And that camera can allow you to take video as if you were looking essentially out from the eyes of the person who is wearing the glasses.
Yeah.
So it's supposed to be even one step closer to stepping into the skin of another person. You know?
Right.
And to taking that barrier of the camera away.
Yeah, the video also demonstrated the voice control option that's going to come with Glass, which you can also control it hypothetically through head gesticulation by nodding.
Yeah.
Or by a touchpad on the side of the glasses.
Right. There's a capacitance touchscreen type. Touchpad. You're right. Touchpad, not touchscreen. That allows you to do controls. From the most recent videos that Google's released, it looks like primarily you'll be using voice commands. So you'd say, okay, Glass, and then you would give it
a command.
Like, okay, Glass, direct me to the nearest Starbucks, and then, boop, the little directions come up. And also, we should point out that Glass is not pulling information from the internet all by itself. It actually needs to link to a smartphone device in order to get the data it needs to operate. So you're really pairing it with like an Android device, for example. You might use the Bluetooth in both the Glass and the phone to make this networked connection. So the phone is almost working like a modem in a way.
Oh, right, sure. And the phone would be, I don't know, I've read something about maybe Wi-Fi connection to Glass, but I'm not, of course everything is.
Well, and of course, things that aren't incorporated right now may be incorporated by the time there's a consumer model.
Absolutely.
Like, by the time a consumer model comes out, we might find out that they've somehow incorporated a cellular antenna in there, or an LTE antenna, so that you can connect to wider networks and not have to pair it with a phone.
Next to Wi-Fi, pair it with a phone, yeah.
So anyway, one of the concerns that's come up, from this amazing technology is that, well, if you're using this to walk around and look at the world through a digital overlay, like if you were to glance at a building and use Google Glass to learn what is in that building,
to pull up a Wikipedia page on it and learn the history of the building, learn what company is currently in that building,
you see a restaurant and you pull the menu up in front of you so that you don't have to, like, it's across the street and you're like, is it worth crossing the street?
Do I need to go look in that window?
Yeah.
There's people in there.
Let me pull up the menu. Like, Sloppy Joe sounds good. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and cross the street then. And then you get run down because you're not paying attention. That is a danger. I mean, there is always the danger that but the idea with Google Glass is you're supposed to be able to really concentrate on your environment with as little distraction as possible. Knowing humans as I do, I expect that a lot of us are going to be looking at the screen more frequently than Google necessarily intends, but that might be just a behavioral thing that we'll have to work out. It's giving you this information about the world around you. Whether it's pulling that information out via pairing with your smartphone or pulling it from a network directly, the concern is it's leaving a digital path of where you've been
all
the time.
Every time it pulls something up for you, it makes a little log, Yeah. And then someone else can go back in, you know, be it Google or the government or et cetera, et cetera.
Or a suspicious spouse or a potential stalker. I mean, there are a lot of concerns. Like it could be something as simple as a friend of yours suddenly discovering that perhaps you were out shopping for a birthday present because they just looked at your location data, not with any, you know, malevolent intent, but then they're like, Oh, he's going, why would he ever go to there? Oh, wait a minute. I remember last time I was there, I was like, yeah, there's this thing.
My birthday is tomorrow.
Or like you're watching, you see that a bunch of your friends have all visited a restaurant that you yourself really love. And like, oh, I didn't know they all liked that. I should go there for my birthday tomorrow. Wait a minute. Maybe they're scouting it out, you know. So there's lots of innocent ways that this could ruin people's good time. But then there's also the more scary ways. Like, could the government end up, if you were to fall under suspicion for some sort of a crime, whether you committed it or not, could the government or a law enforcement official go and use some sort of digital trace work to see all the places you've been? And let's say that you are innocent. Okay. Let's say, Lauren, let's say we're using a hypothetical situation where you are the victim here. Okay.
I've been wrongfully accused of.
You've been wrongfully accused of, let's say, shoplifting.
Okay.
Okay.
That's a nice innocent one I like. I mean, not that shoplifting isn't terrible. Kids don't shoplift, but.
Yeah, and don't shoplift kids either.
No, that's a different word. That's kidnapping. That's much worse.
No, that is much worse. Okay.
Also, then you have a kid, and then what are you going to do with that thing?
True. Parents, you can write to Lauren Vogelbaum. So Lauren has been placed under suspicion of shoplifting, and so the law enforcement has ended up getting whatever they needed to get in order to get the digital log of Lauren's activities. And they see that Lauren has not gone to the store where she was suspected of being a shoplifter. So she's innocent of that. But in the process, they see that she's been visiting a certain area which is known for something else that's really bad. Let's say it's an area that's a known drug lab.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You've been going to this drug lab a lot for the last few weeks.
Well, I was clearly doing it for tech stuff research, but
anyway,
you know.
So there's that concern. And so it may be that it could be that Lauren is, again, completely innocent. Maybe there's something else she's been going to that's adjacent to a place that is a known criminal center. But now they've suddenly got an even greater intensity upon her. And there's even more they're encroaching even more upon her privacy. Or maybe she did do something that was a little underhanded, whether it was something really terrible or just a little awful. You know, your spectrum of terrible could be, you know, it could be something that was, you know, really not that harmful, or it could be something really bad. Then suddenly they can go after her. So the thing that people are concerned about here is that it is a privacy issue, that it could end up making law enforcement, companies, other types of organizations treat you as if you had done something wrong, even if you never had.
Treat you as though you were guilty all the time, and use that sort of as an excuse to further invade your privacy.
Right. And then beyond that, there's also the fact of, you know, why would Google care about where you've been? It's because Google, remember, at its heart, is an advertising company.
Right. The services that they provide are really so that they can also provide targeted advertising to you.
Yeah. And the more they know about you, the more targeted that advertising can be.
Correct.
Now, targeted advertising is a two-way street, okay? On the one hand, it means that you have to, in order for the ads to be relevant to you, you have to have shared information about yourself in some way. Whether it was knowingly or not, you have to reveal information about yourself for those ads to be targeted. But the other side of that street is the ads you get are more likely to be really relevant to you.
Yeah. You know, for example, in a world where I get fewer advertisements for the NFL, I'm like, well, great.
Yeah.
That's a waste of everyone's time if they're sending me things like that. So.
By the way, the same thing holds true for me. Fewer ads for the NFL because let me tell you, they're not effective coming to me. It's just
negatorily.
Yeah. I will say the NHL used to be. before we lost our team.
Anyway, tangent.
Right, right.
Bringing it back.
But so yeah, these targeted ads could be a positive thing depending upon how you use ads. If you are someone who actually says, well, you know, ads, I use ads to help me discover products that I wouldn't see otherwise, or to land a deal for something that I'm actually really looking for. Like, if you're in the market for something in particular, then an ad could be very useful to you.
It can be great, yeah.
Or you might see it as intrusive.
I don't know. I've been really struggling with this the past couple days when we decided to do this piece about whether or not I actually have a problem with the government being able to check out people, like where people have been.
It's tough. I mean, we should, you know, stress, we're here in the United States. We're used to at least a certain illusion
of freedom.
Of freedom and privacy. Mm-hmm. You know, that depending upon your point of view, it extends to a certain circle. You know, like some people think that it's a circle that's very, very tiny indeed these days, and others are saying, no, that's really too pessimistic and cynical. It's much larger than that. But there are people in other nations. I mean, the United Kingdom, for example, has closed circuit television cameras
everywhere. People are used to being recorded continually. I mean, and it's not that we're not being recorded more or less continually here, but, you know, by more or less private devices.
Right. It's not something like you don't see security cameras set up on every street corner in the United States the way you would in cities in the UK.
Only at many intersections.
Right. Well, yeah. Because, I mean, I learned from the documentary series Sherlock that they are all controlled by Mycroft Holmes. spoiler alert.
I learned that they're controlled by Torchwood from the
documentary series Torchwood. Right, which was a spinoff of the Doctor Who documentary. Anyway, in the United States, we don't really tend to like that idea of anyone tracking us. And I'm not saying that people in other countries love that idea, but in the United States in particular, there's a big resistance to that. It's kind of runs antithetical to what we think of as our individual freedoms.
And freedoms,
right.
Yeah.
So there's definitely that, this idea of, I don't want to give up my privacy, even if it's not for something nefarious, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you see these trends in the United States of people using things like Facebook and Foursquare to voluntarily give up massive amounts of information.
Oh, yeah. There, as of January 2013, and we're recording this in March of 2013, by the way, 30 million people worldwide have made over 3 billion check-ins on Foursquare alone.
Right. And that's voluntarily giving up your location to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. On purpose.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where if it's your choice, then that's one thing.
Uh-huh,
if it's something
sure.
that's happening in the background, then that suddenly seems not so cool.
Oh, right. And, you know, I think that that's going to be the tipping point for a lot of people. If they can get something out of this, then they're going to go, yeah, well, okay, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, and also, you know, one of the other concerns is that if people are taking video all the time on Google Glass, and that maybe you're not even aware of when people are taking video on Google Glass, that there's going to become this database of visual information about everybody available all the time, and that through things like facial recognition software, people will be able to tag your location, even your speech.
Interesting. You know, I want to talk more about that. But before we get into that discussion, let's take a quick moment to thank our sponsor. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required. Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas. Loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
All right, we're back. Now, Lauren, you were bringing up something really interesting. And in fact, we should say this is really the centerpiece of Mark Hurst's article, the Google Glass feature no one is talking about. He does address this idea of giving up your privacy and the whole voluntary versus involuntary thing. But he says that perhaps what's even more worrisome is the fact that Google Glass is also a video camera and that you can be recording at any time, and that he worries that there might not be any indication that the camera is recording.
Oh, right, sure. Well, you know, I think that right now there's an LED or something that flashes when it's recording.
Exactly.
But, you know, it's the same way that I know lots of people who have electrical tape over the webcam on their laptop.
They might just cover up the little light so that you don't necessarily know that it's recording. Also, there's the concern that perhaps a future version of this would either not have the light or would actually be constantly recording.
Or that Trixie
recording.
Google would be recording
all
without
the time.
Telling you, yeah.
Or, and that Google wants to open this up to developers. I mean, that's why they had the developer beta, in which every single pair of these things was $1,500. Now, we don't expect that to be the end consumer price once this becomes a consumer product. I would imagine it's going to be significantly less than that. Otherwise, I don't think they're going to have much of a market.
Right, no.
Especially when you take a look at these things, they're a little, you know.
They're still a little bit clunky.
They're still a little clunky. They've been partnering with some eyeglass designers, so you know that the...
Oh, yeah, no. I think that the finalized product is going to be...
Sleeker and...
Very much sleeker.
Yeah, and it'll probably be
less expensive. I kind of dig the Jordy visor, kind of.
And also... In the interest of full disclosure, I completely intend on getting a pair of these. I really do. I mean, I am aware of these concerns and I understand them and I don't disagree with them. At the same time, I am incredibly excited by this technology. But as Hurst points out, and as you pointed out, Lauren, having access to a video camera all the time that's mounted, ready to go to shoot at a moment's notice, all you have to say is, okay, Glass, start recording.
Or tap a button on the side,
yeah,
or nod your head
a certain way or whatever. Once it's going, like, you can't be certain that, you know, you're not being filmed at any particular time. Mm-hmm. I know filmed is obviously the wrong word, but we're going to use it because that's the vernacular, the colloquial term. So if you walk into a room and you see that someone's wearing Google Glass, if you can't see that light, if the light's not visible, or if they've covered it up somehow, or if it's just not even part of that particular form factor, you can't really be sure you're not being captured on video.
Oh, right. Yeah. Although I would argue that the same is true these days with smartphones, that, you know,
sure.
if anyone is sitting in a restaurant with a smartphone out,
you can't
or even not out, you know, it could be recording audio.
Yeah, that's true. You cannot be sure. And there are times where I was holding up a phone in order to get a signal. And then I realized that the way I'm holding this phone, it looks like I'm trying to take a photo of that dude who's sitting three aisles down from the airport where I am. And he hasn't noticed yet, which is probably good for both me and him.
Right.
So I'm going to stop doing that now. But yeah, it's part of our reality already. It's just that to make that even more integrated into
right,
our reality.
It could be more prevalent and more integrated. And
again, like you were saying with the facial recognition and all that, these are things that Google Glass could easily incorporate, whether it's a third-party app or mm-hmm. it's something that's natively designed for the actual Google Glass experience.
Sure.
Because, you know, Google's got a history also of saying, oh, these guys had a great idea. Let's go to them. We'll mm-hmm. buy the company. And we'll incorporate that directly into the product. So it's no longer an app that you add on. It's a native feature.
Yeah.
Right. So if that native feature involves things like, hey, I shot this great video. We had karaoke. It was fantastic. I recorded it. It automatically tags all my friends because they're already connected to my Google account. So, so now you know exactly who's in there. All of them can search it and they can watch it. It's entertaining. That sounds awesome. But if it's one of those things where, hey, I was at this place when this terrible catastrophe occurred and I decided to capture video of it. Mm-hmm. That video might be useful, but it might also mean that certain people's faces are being tagged and those people, like, it could end up being a real mess for things like first responders. It could
be
law enforcement officials. Like, you know, in some cases you're thinking like, well, this is good because it's going to give me a record of what's going on. In other cases you're thinking like, all right, well, what would happen? Terribly tragic situation occurs. Someone or multiple people die as a result of this horrible hypothetical tragedy.
Okay.
Someone who is there has Google Glass. They're recording it. And because of the cloud-based nature of some app.
It's immediately uploaded.
It's uploaded.
People are tagged.
People are tagged, like including people who have died. And that's how you find out that one of your loved ones has perished because they've been tagged in a video and it pops up on some sort of Google alert or something. And that's one of those concerns is that, and it sounds,
it sounds far-fetched right now, you know, especially since I'm less familiar with Google Plus, but I know that on Facebook you can opt out of their entire facial recognition system.
Sure.
And tell it to never do that and it will just never form the particular algorithm for you.
Right. And in most cases that's the way it works, as well. With Google Plus, if someone tags me in a photo, it gives me the option of either accepting the tag or denying it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same sort of thing. It's just one of those questions of if this ends up being like a third party app that gets added on so that there's a particular website where videos will get hosted, then, and it's not YouTube, it's not something like that. And this person who's wearing the glasses happens to be part of that, then just because, you know, YouTube follows this rule or Facebook follows this rule or Google Plus follows this rule doesn't mean that these third parties are necessarily going to follow the rule. So here, the interesting part of the question is no longer the privacy of the individual who's wearing the glasses. It's the privacy of everyone that person comes into contact with because they could potentially be caught on camera.
Right. And you know, I don't know, it raises a lot of interesting thoughts because on the one hand, you know, if you're squeamish about getting tagged and stuff, it's like, well, don't do stuff that you don't want people to know that you've done.
Yeah, but that's one of those arguments it's a weak argument, right?
It's a very weak argument. And also, you know, you get a little bit 1984 at that point where if you assume that you're being watched at any given moment and therefore you have to live as though you are being watched.
Like the only reason to behave a certain way is because you'll get in trouble if you do not. The more you pursue that, the more totalitarian it gets, the more Orwellian it gets.
So, Foucault talked a lot about that in the 70s about panopticons and stuff like that. And that's actually what some of these fears about Google Glass really reminded me of. And I looked up some of the original quotes from Jeremy Bentham, who's the guy who created the panopticon. Panopticon, of course, being a prison model. This was back in 1787 that he came up with, wherein you can have a single guard tower in the middle watching a ring of prisoner cells all the way around it. And it's set up so that it doesn't matter whether there's a guard in that tower or not at a certain point because
the perception is that there is someone watching you.
That there is someone there and that they are watching you. And he said that this is a new mode of obtaining power of mind over mind in a quantity hitherto without example. And that, to a degree equally without example, secured by whoever chooses to have it so.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. on the network that covers more roads than any other carrier. Take your work on the road, and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. So yeah, there you've got that just spread out through an entire culture, because instead of it being a guard tower, it's the dude wearing the funky glasses across the street.
And all the dudes wearing the funky glasses, right, because, all over the street.
Because, you know, right now it's going to be a very few people who have this, because it's developers or folks who had $1,500 to burn. But otherwise, no, you didn't get that opportunity. So it's not like you're likely to run into this on a regular basis, unless you happen to be in the, I guess, San Francisco area, where you might run into them a little more frequently.
Right.
But once this gets rolled out into the consumer model, assuming that it does, and I see no reason to assume otherwise, then we're going to see it start to filter out there. Now, I think that knowing about these concerns means a couple of things. It means, one, that the people who are working on apps, the people who are working on the products itself, or themselves, they need to take these into consideration and make sure that they acknowledge the concerns.
Right, right.
And hopefully build in stuff that alleviates some of those concerns. Mm-hmm. I mean, I doubt that the concerns are never going to completely go away by the very nature of the product.
Yeah, and especially, I also wanted to put in this day and age, you know, traditionally federal law and the Wiretap Act dictated that it was illegal actually to record people without their knowledge in most states. Mm-hmm. The law was a little bit sticky and varied here and there. But back in 2010, a case went to the Second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, in which a woman was on her deathbed and did not have a will. She died, actually, without creating a will. Her son, as it turned out, had recorded a conversation among his mother and a bunch of their family members right before she passed about what would happen to her estate. And he wound up using this in court to prove his case about what he wanted to happen. Mm-hmm. And someone else said, oh, no, you can't use that. You didn't tell us that we were being recorded. That's illegal. And the court said, no, it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, basically, they said that as long as you're not planning on using a recording for illegal purposes,
Gotcha.
It's not, like to, it's no longer illegal to make a recording of people without their consent.
Something.
Yeah.
It's a sticky situation. It's tricky. And of course, those laws are going to vary depending upon what country you're in. Even from state to state.
Even from state to state. And I'm kind of curious to see what this kind of technology is going to do to laws like that in the future.
Oh yeah. We're going to definitely see some legislation, that'll be maybe not directly tied to Google Glass, but at least to the culture of having these cameras everywhere all the time. It's amazing that more of it hasn't happened already, considering
sure.
the fact that, I mean, you know, citizen journalism has taken off like crazy over the last several years once smartphones really became a thing, and the cameras and cell phones got good enough to capture pretty high quality, in some cases extremely high quality video. So it'll be interesting to see how that develops. I would hope that perhaps the people who purchase the Google Glass product also keep in mind the concerns of people around them. And I think that it may be one of those things that as a cultural thing or a social thing, we adopt a way that's polite in that we can say, hey, would you mind wearing that uh-huh. while we're here because I find it uncomfortable?
Mm-hmm.
And if there's some way to do that in a way that, you know, does not upset the person who's wearing them or the person who's making the request, then that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and if it's an event where it's like, but this is a party where everyone's having fun, I was kind of hoping to capture that. That's the whole reason why I brought them.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can end up having the conversation and decide, you know, who's being the unreasonable one.
Right.
And if you're both being perfectly reasonable, then you get to split the party directly down the middle and no one crosses the line. And the guy who doesn't want to be on camera is, I don't know. I don't know what you do.
Yeah,
I don't know what you do.
Yeah. I was reading an Engadget article and Joshua Frillinger, I believe is how you say it. I really apologize to this fine, gentle sir if I've just butchered his name. But he said, it isn't a privacy issue, really. We're over that. It's a matter of trust. And I thought that that was a good summation.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
And now keep in mind also that a lot of the concerns are more like, well, sure, you know, if I'm having lunch with Lauren, I trust Lauren. I don't think Lauren's going, it's not in her best interest to make me look bad.
Right.
I'm tied up in too much of her stuff. But no, I trust her not to do anything that would end up making me look bad or making us look bad, making the show look bad. I trust her completely. But when it would come to what about like if she were wearing the Google Glass and recording a conversation just because it was kind of fun and silly, but then something in the background's going on,
uh-huh.
like there's where the concern comes in. Like, yeah, I trust Lauren,
mm-hmm.
but the dude two tables behind me who's meeting a woman who is not his wife at lunch may not trust Lauren.
Uh-huh. And, so. And yeah, and Google is not necessarily terrific at blurring out faces, even in Street View, which is relatively small compared to what Google Glass could become.
Yeah, so obviously this is one of those things that's going to require a lot of thought on all parties. And I'm sure that Mark Hurst's article is probably not the only one that has addressed this. And I'm sure many of our listeners probably have their own opinions about this subject. And, you know, where do you fall on the side of the promise of this technology versus the way it might compromise your privacy or the people around you? Like, what do you think about it? Do you think that it's a worthy trade-off? Do you think there's no trade-off at all? Or do you think that maybe this is a technology that is better as a concept but should not become a physical product? I'm curious to hear what you think. I think it'd be great to hear from you. So why don't you send us an email? And if you have any suggestions for future episodes of Tech Stuff, throw that in there too. Remember, we've got episode 500 right around the corner, so that's going to be a blast. Send us an email. Our address is techstuff@discovery.com, or drop us a message on Facebook or Twitter. You can find our handle. It is TechStuffHSW. And Lauren and I will talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.